period is dominated by a single city or country that seemed to furnish the finest players. The devotion of these players to teaching and the passing on of the high standards that they themselves have created sort of makes them the unsung heroes of the evolution of music. The one city that dominated the musical scene at the end of the 19th century was Paris, where woodwind playing flourished. And from Paris, there was a great migration to America of these fine players. In this migration, 55 years ago, a young French oboe player appeared on the scene who was to crystallize the best of the styles existing at that time into a school which became later his own, or even more intimately identified now as the American School of Woodwind Playing. This man was Marcel Tabouteau. His teachings at the Curtis Institute of Music in Philadelphia have undoubtedly been the strongest single influence in instrumental playing in America over the past 40 years. Since Mr. Tabouteau's retirement in 1953, he has been visiting his native France, and his recent return to America happily coincided with our preparation of this series. He readily consented to film a short talk with us, and you will now see and hear a great musician, a great teacher, and an unforgettable personality, Marcel Tabouteau.
If I don't count the years I studied in Paris, you know, I have been first oboist in the harmony in the little band at Compiègne.
My goodness.
And by the way, the band master was a nephew of Massenet.
Massenet.
His name was Cavalier Massenet. So, and Massenet, when I had the opportunity to meet him, advised his nephew to send me to the French Conservatoire.
Fine reference.
Yes. And I spent about 4 or 5 years there with Gilet Tafanel, who was a teacher of the woodwind group and also of the orchestra class. And it was most interesting because Tafanel was a splendid musician and a great flutist.
Well, you know, it's really very fortunate for us that you should come back at this time, because in our preparation of this series of 200 years of woodwind music and players and the woodwind instruments and chamber music, we have gone through the development of wind players in Vienna and Mannheim, and we come to Paris, where it really reached great heights in what could be called the belle époque, and that was certainly during the period when you were there as a student. And those men that you mentioned, Tafanel and Gilet, they must have been great artists in their, not only on their instruments, but as musicians, which is even more important.
Yes. You know, they had quite some organization of which we playing in Paris, and the most important one was what they call the Grand Vent. And the Grand Vent, the personnel of the Grand Vent, was the teaching staff of the Paris Conservatoire. And if you're interested, I could tell you that Saint-Saëns was the pianist of the group. Tafanel was the flutist, Gilet the oboist, Rose, the famous clarinet player, Letellier the bassonist, and the horn player, I always forget his name.
Bernard.
Exactly so. But how does it happen that you know all that?
Well, he's a student.
Oh, I see. Well, congratulations to you.
Well, those must have been fabulous days in Paris. The virtuosity of these players,
yes,
is such a high excellence.
Exactly so it was. You know, there was a legend in those days that woodwind playing was a French specialty. In fact, people from all over the world thought you had to be born a Frenchman to be a good oboe player.
Well, I'm sure that it came from a good source, because I know in reading about this woodwind group that you spoke of before, they traveled around Europe quite a bit playing, and I know they had tremendous success in other countries, so Germany and Russia and
yes,
places, and probably fine musicians heard them.
Exactly so. You know, for instance, when they played in Berlin, there was the famous Joachim, you know, the celebre teacher.
Violinist.
Yes.
He was the man that Brahms wrote the violin concerto,
yes,
Joachim.
Yes. And he was so much impressed with their playing that they were absolutely surprised because they never heard anything like it, you know. Because the schooling in those days in Germany, for instance, the men would not specialize in one instrument like we did in the French Conservatoire. You know, you would play the violin and the clarinet, or the piano, or the fagot. You see, but there was no specialization like here today. You know, when you have to devote all your life to become an opera player, and you know it personally, don't you? With the rhythm making and this and all that, you know.
Full-time occupation.
Yes. So, you have to wait for very much of that, especially from the oboe player, Gimel. And, of course, I don't know if it is the truth, but I was told from many sources that Joachim, after graduation from some of his pupils, would advise them to spend a few weeks or to have a little talk about music with the oboe player of the group. Yes?
This was your teacher.
Yes, and I was very fortunate to have such a teacher.
Well, you certainly carried on in that great tradition when you came to this country and started your teaching of not only oboe players, but all of the wind instruments here in Philadelphia.
Yes, I must admit one thing. Of course, I had the possibility in me to enjoy teaching and make good pupils, but if I would not have been given the opportunity to do it, it would not have been done by me anyhow. So I was fortunate enough to be chosen to do this kind of teaching and to give the old tradition that we received in Paris to the American boys. And I assure they have been doing very well, because now the conductors do not have to go to Europe to find their personnel. They have, you know, they have it right here.
Thanks to you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I did it probably because I found so much fun.
But one of the remarkable things is that, as I recall our days with you at the Curtis, was that with all your fun, you made it into a system. It was a system which had fun to it. It wasn't
I wanted to establish a little system which would be a recreation. You know, for instance, my philosophy in playing and teaching, I was very inclined to teach them how to think beautifully. Because if you think beautifully, you play beautifully. Okay. And I believe to play as you think more than to play as you feel. Because how about the day you are not feeling so well? Don't you agree with it?
What's
the matter? So establishing a system which we amuse everybody.
Well, I understand I wasn't a student of yours at the Curtis Institute, but I did associate with you for 17 years in the Philadelphia Orchestra. We had some rich experiences together, and you certainly influenced my musical thinking. But I've heard stories from your students how, in explaining your system, sometimes you broke off an armchair or a
student. Well, it was great fun, I assure you. And I had the reward, and I still have the reward to see them everywhere and be happy with their profession, and they find plenty of joy in playing with a bigger organization when they are today.
Well, you certainly managed to impart that to the hundreds of students who studied under your direction at the Curtis Institute, and I think that you best exemplify that person who made this bridge between the excellence in Paris and what has taken place here in the United States. Hasn't the United States in some way affected you in your concepts of playing?
Yes. You know, I came here as a French oboe player, and I left the tradition after my research. I found the blending of the German oboe playing style with the French would be to my own taste. And I think I have succeeded to a certain extent to create almost a new sonority on the oboe.
There's no question about that. It's not only the fact that you created something new on the oboe, but the fact that your teaching was something that could be applied to any instrument, not only the oboe, but to all instruments. And that is the thing which has been shown with such tremendous success as you look over the personnel of the orchestras throughout America, so many of the boys like myself that had the privilege of being with you.
Well, I am really delighted, I must confess to you, that when a horn player thanked me for the little fun we get together, I am very proud.
Well, we want to thank you very much for this opportunity to speak to you and tell all of us about your concepts of woodwind playing, which we hope to carry on for many years with the Philadelphia Woodwind Quintet.
Well, my best wishes to all of you.